Welcome to Inside Out, The Naked Truth, where we explore everyday issues to discover their core truth so that we may understand them, open our hearts, add a little more fun to our lives, and see it all from another perspective.
Tonight's show is coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I am Errol Alicia Strider.
No, you can't have my middle name.
Oh, okay. And together, all three of us, we will explore these truths through humor, zaniness, conscious conversation, poetry, music, sketches, and your comments. And you can call in, and I hope you will join us in this conversation, because tonight we've got an amazing program. But before I mention that, tell us about our sponsor, Rochelle.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Go Raw, 100% natural, organic, raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you.
And Go Raw can be found at Whole Foods in the organic section of Costco, among other places, including Trader Joe's, if you're fortunate enough to have a Trader Joe's near you. I think we're giving a commercial for these other stores, but that's okay. Go to Go Raw and find a store near you and find out about these Go Raw products. I saw them on a shelf as I was walking out of Whole Foods the other day, and they sure looked delicious. Different flavors, seeds, all natural, sprouted. Fabulous. I was at the factory and I saw them all sprouting. I heard them sprouting, actually.
They never sprout in front of you, though.
No, they did. They're noisy sprouters.
Very modest. So, and if you wish to join us tonight, call in at 888-627-6008.
I promise if you do call in, it'll be a magic moment for all of us. So please join us.
Well, tonight's show is called More.
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 Really?
More.
Okay.
Because our humanness demands more. Our ego says, we'll always have more. Our awareness sees the more in steady, small increments. Any moment beyond this is more. The pictures we put upon more belong to us. Expanded consciousness, more money, more pleasure, more of the same, even more pain. I can trust the expanded consciousness. As we grow in years as humans, we certainly acquire more experiences, more stories, more opportunities to understand the lesser. The past seems far away when we seek more. Is this the seed of evolution? We become all that was, and in consuming the past, we create an evolving species. I don't know what more looks like. It shows its face when it is no longer more. Though our imagination doesn't care to hang out in the mystery for very long. After all, who can imagine the mystery? For once we do, it is no longer a mystery. The unknown is so expansive, our little minds cannot possibly take it all in. But we try. We try to let go of the more and stay in the past. It's safer. It's more predictable. The strangest thing is the now. Because the now is always more. And always the engagement. By its very definition, the engagement is more. One has to be engaged with something, someone, so there is always more than one. What I especially like about more is being a part of it.
I'd like to put this program in another context. We're going to see if we can juxtapose these two contexts, because what we're going to be looking at is the more of evolutionary potential. I expect a drum to be rolling somewhere in the cosmos as we approach this amazing question and opportunity. But first, let's put it all in context and determine just, well, let's take a look and see where we are at this point in our awareness.
Listen to this. Whenever life gets you down, Mrs. Brown, and things seem hard or tough, and people are stupid, obnoxious, or daft, and you feel that you've had quite enough, just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving, and revolving at 900 miles an hour. That's orbiting at 90 miles a second, so it's reckoned a sun that is the source of all our power. The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at a million miles a day. In an outer spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour of the galaxy we call the Milky Way. Our galaxy itself contains 100 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 16,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 3,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point. We go round every 200 million years. And our galaxy is only one of millions of billions in this amazing and expanding universe.
Is this it?
I beg your pardon?
Is this all there is? Have we arrived?
Arrived?
Where we're going?
I don't know. Where are we going?
Well, I don't know. That's why I asked the question.
What question?
Is this it?
Well, it's as far as it's gotten, I suppose. It's hard to know. It depends on your point of view, I guess.
Your point of view?
Well, yes. If you're up, it would look quite different than if you're down. And if you're in the middle, it would look altogether different. So where are you?
Well, I can't tell until I know if this is it. You see, if this is all there is, then I'm obviously up. But if most is yet to come, then I'm down. And if we're halfway, I'm in the middle. So which is it?
I rather think we're in the middle.
What makes you say so?
Well, because I can see lots below and lots above.
Oh, I can see lots below, all right. But what makes you think there's any more above?
That's it.
What?
More. There must be more to come.
What makes you think so?
Well, if not, that'll mean this is it.
And why shouldn't this be it?
Well, if this were all there was, it would be awful, that's what. Besides, there's always been more before. Why shouldn't there be more afterwards?
Well, that's rather optimistic, I'd say. Besides, what makes you think more is a habit? After all, it may have been more before, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be more after. Things could change, couldn't they?
No, not more. More won't change.
Why not? Why won't more change?
Because there always can be more.
But someone could shut the whole bloody thing down. Don't you think? Pull the switch. Press the lever. Pop the button.
What? Why would someone want to do that?
I don't know why. Why do people do anything they do? Bunch of weirdos, if you ask me. And that's why I don't think you can be so sure there's going to be more, unless you mean more weirdos, of course.
Well, look at it this way. In the beginning, there was a tiny bit, right?
All right.
Then there got to be a little, right?
That's all right. That's it.
Then there was a small bunch, then a goodly amount, then a lot, then a whole big bunch, right?
Getting rather crowded, I'd say, wouldn't you? That's why I don't think there's going to be more. What there is taking up everything already. So how will there ever be room for more? Besides, who'd want more? Do you?
Yes, I'd like more.
Why?
Well, I wouldn't want it to end here. And if there was more, well, it might get better.
What makes you think more is better? Bigger hasn't been better. Why should more be better?
Because the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
I beg your pardon.
I said the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
And what does that have to do with anything?
Well, you do agree, don't you?
I suppose so. It's always been that way, I presume.
Well?
That doesn't mean it always will be that way.
You mean the parts might be greater than the whole?
I doubt it, but what does that have to do with there being more?
Well, look at it this way. If the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, if there were more parts, then the sum would be greater still.
So what does that prove?
It proves that more is greater.
Greater, eh? But is it better?
Yes, because if the whole is greater, then there's more chance for the parts to be better, since they're part of the whole, aren't they?
Yes.
Then there always has to be more.
Why?
Because the part is never as big as the whole.
Eh?
That's right. If the sum of the parts never equals the whole, they can always get more holy, can't they?
More holy?
Yes. There's always room for improvement, wouldn't you say?
Well, yes, I suppose so. But what if they shut it all down?
They?
The parts.
Well, they couldn't do that.
Why not?
Could they? Well, because the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Don't you see? At most, you'd only have a few parts trying to shut it all down. And they obviously couldn't shut down the whole because the whole is greater.
Ah, I think I see.
Mm-hmm. So this can't be all there is.
No, you think not.
Of course not.
We're still on our way, then.
Of course.
Aha. Well, are you heading my way?
Well, I'd like to think so.
Could I catch a ride with you, then, since you seem to know where it is we're going?
Well, I'll be going up a different road, most likely, because I am a different person. But I'll meet you when we get there.
There?
When we arrive.
Well, you think we'll arrive, then?
I expect so.
I hope so.
See you there.
We really are going up, you say, then?
Of course we are.
Oh, good. Well, then, thanks for the lift.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Lady Umbridge.
Oh, Lord Umbridge, you just tickle me so.
On expanding and expanding in all of the directions it can whiz, as fast as it can go, the speed of light, you know, 12 million miles a minute, and that's the fastest speed there is. So remember, when you're feeling very small and insecure, how amazingly unlikely is your birth. And pray that there's intelligent life somewhere up in space, 'cause there's bugger all down here on Earth.
She feels so sort of insignificant, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Can we have your liver, then?
Yeah, all right, you talked me into it.
Eric!
What movie was that from?
Monty Python.
I know, but which one?
I think it's The Meaning of Life.
Oh, that was so funny.
And there you have it. And welcome back. We're here live. This is Errol Strider. We're Naked Truth, Insight Out.
And the sketch was More with Lord and Lady Umbridge, written by Errol Strider.
And it was based upon my readings of the work of Teilhard de Chardin. You may have seen him in...
I don't think you've seen him in anything.
He was a Catholic priest. He had this incredible vision. He was not allowed to publish by the Catholic Church. But fortunately, we have his work, and it's really...
In his lifetime. He wasn't allowed to publish in his lifetime.
Right.
But after his death, he was published, but not by the Catholic Church.
But he's one of the first, not I should say the first, but one of the major illuminators of this evolutionary journey that we're on, and recontexting our life in evolution. And it's just mind-boggling in its potential and its ramifications, to say the least.
Oh, to say the least. My God, I hate to see what the most might be.
So the question we're looking at, I've been reading this book called Human Potential, and it's now a very wet book because as careful as I am not to leave my tea bottle open, I did. But it didn't take anything away from the content, the human purpose and transhuman potential. And what that...
Tell us who wrote it.
Ted Chu is an economist, and it's a fascinating book because it suggests that we can transcend the human, that we don't necessarily... evolution doesn't necessarily culminate, per se, in the human race. We may just be another species that's coming and will pass and will move on to something greater.
But I think it's interesting that as I contemplate our humanness, is our very humanness is evolving. I mean, that's like, it's like a roach is a roach is a roach. But humans...
I sort of remember that. It's like a flower, the roach.
Right, right. But humans, you know, moved from one state of being to now where we are, and I'm not saying it's like great, but we haven't been around that long, humans as a species, and I do experience this sense that we can evolve much further than we have already evolved.
Yes, way much further and beyond anything that we can conceive or imagine. But I see that there's two tracks of evolution. There's the evolution that we're aware of, the evolution of life on this planet and how that's going and where it will continue to, I started to say end, but it's obviously not going to end, so it's just going to transmute into something else. So that'll be interesting to see what it transmutes into, if in fact it does. And then there's our own personal evolution. As we've shared here on our program more than once, we believe slash hope that there is an evolving aspect of ourselves, the soul, that continues to evolve and accrue to itself more and more substantive reality and in fact becomes made up of by its very, the sinews of its existence, of its very being, the fabric of fundamental existence, which, as we're coming to learn, is really love. It's a palpable love.
Yes, and as I said in the opening remarks, that somehow I feel that our experiences on the planet are, we become the sum and substance of them. And out of that substantive experience, we emerge as a different textures, different consciousness that we move out of that, beyond that, let's say. So that it's everything that has been before us, we are, in terms of our genetics and everything else, and then we move beyond that. And so I think that that's happening, you know. I mean, I believe it's happening because I experience it in my own self. You know, that things that I actually found myself in survival mode, you know, to try to defend myself, the fear that leads to war and explosions and anger. And I see that I can see it and check it. And to me, that's a movement because I begin to recognize that you're part of me. So there's the moreness, that engagement that takes place. And I can move out of survival mode by engaging in truth and in love with you.
I love that. It reminds me of this poem that I wrote called Evolving. And it goes, evolving you, evolving me, swirl, collide, glisten, spark, in the air, upthrushing, noiseless, an unfolding canopy covers you, covers me. Out of thick blackness, light sparks, many rainbows occur, covered over without the blindness of not yet. And this gives way to soothing shortcomings. Flash tears in the curtain of sameness. Uncover, unfold. You evolve as I evolve. Sliding back potentials face to face with color. Thank you, Neil Diamond.
Thank you, Neil Diamond.
Headed for the future. Lean on me, lean on you. And we are Errol and Rochelle Strider, and our show is sponsored by Go Raw. And if you're out there, we'd love to hear from you. We're looking tonight at the whole question of more and evolution and the larger picture. And then we're going to see if we can bring it down. How does the larger picture affect the little picture, of which we are much more aware and interacting?
Or maybe they are one and the same. It's just the microcosm of the macrocosm. You know, like I'm always aware of that in our life, that I was a fetal being, and I am now like a two-legged upright being, and soon I may be back to being a crawling being or being pushed around in a wheelchair. I don't know. The thing is that there's this incredible awareness that something in us expands. And I look at expansion as an evolutionary word, that it's expansion, that something is expanding, that the evolution of this planet is an expansion, not a I don't know, just going to another place, like eating at another restaurant or something. It's like something.
I have three expansions. Is that for your waist, sir? Well, you noticed.
So, but what do we do with that? You know, there's this sense of like, to me, to participate in my own evolution means that I have to become aware that I am an evolving being, that I have choices that lead to moreness rather than lead to stagnation, that I have these choices and I'm constantly offered them, that it's never not there. It's just that I can't see them, but they're always there for me. And those choices allow me to evolve, and those choices allow me to become more. Like I said in the opening piece, that the engagement by its very nature is more, because you can't engage, you have to engage with something, means there's more than one of you, more than one thing happening at a time. And I love that. I love that experience of the engagement.
Well, the word evolve actually comes from the word meaning to unfold.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't make that up?
I may. You know, no telling where this information comes from. But I seem to remember that. And somehow, when you think of something unfolding, you think of a flower, for example, mm-hmm. unfolding, and if you could time frame photography it, you would see that it within it, you don't know. It's all closed up. It's all bound up, like the Big Bang supposedly was this thing. It was all condensed, all matter, all existence. And then it just started opening, and it's been opening ever since. And it's just, of course, the first opening was a big, fast opening. That was like, I actually read the figure 400,000 years, but that somehow didn't feel right in the span of the billions of year history of our planet, you know. And I like to
think, what was 400,000 years?
Oh, it was.
But what was it?
It was like the initial fuse lighting the thing, and then it just kind of continued after that. It was the initial explosion. Well, you know what it was like? It was like cataclysmic eruptions. Try and imagine this.
Cataclysmic eruptions. Energy ignited, hurled, and condensed. The confused mass balls of swimming force grappled with gravity until condensation compressed swirling energies into systems. The universe exhaled its bubbly hot gases as light thrust itself into space, piercing through the void, creating atmospheres. Cosmic coupling began to take place, and Creator sons and divine daughters were sent out in profusion. The universe extended its arms and legs, reaching for its lover. Unblinded by modesty, it sought to fill and be filled, shamelessly exposing itself before God. Myriads of planets gossiped, but the lovers paid no mind, for the infant had reached into space and joined with the absolute, and from the panting rhythmic breath emerged fulfillment of life, an object of love.
Well, that was pretty powerful. What was the music behind that?
Ralph Vaughan Williams. I think it's his London Symphony.
Well, that's from a whole show that you did called Birth, isn't it? Cataclysmic Eruptions is one piece.
That was one piece, yeah. It was a show that I tried to integrate this kind of cosmic perspective. And the reason the music was kind of long in there is because in the live show there were slides of cosmic dust.
It's so hard to see on the radio.
It is hard to see the slides.
You know, I think somebody may come along one of these days and create a way to see pictures and hear voices.
And smell them. Smell the voices. That's going to be the thing.
I remember when television, the idea of television was first presented, before I was born even, but my dad told me that there was a 1939 World's Fair in New York City, and they saw a television set with, you know, people like in another room or something talking, and then it came out over this monitor, I guess. And they were amazed. It was like the future. You know, there was the future in 1939 that we have been experiencing ever since. But I think that was interesting. Long before anybody had a television set.
Long before.
Long before.
So we'd love to hear from you. What is that number, Rochelle?
Oh, yeah. If you have anything to say or add or comment on, please call us at 888-627-6008. And for those of you whose zeros are difficult to understand, it's 888-627-6008. Yes. Well, we're here tonight live at Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills. It's 110 acres of beautiful wooded area, just lovely, lovely green and birds singing and little critters running around, including humans. It's a very beautiful place. So come, if you're in our area, come on down and visit us, and maybe you can be part of our radio show.
But tonight we're really looking at this evolutionary potential and the possibility of even transcending our humanness. And then Rochelle talked about the engagement, and it seems like the universe has thrust us out into particulates of individuality. And then these particulates, which existed initially probably as just a whisper of potential, begin to gather into themselves and form mass and form ideas. And it's almost like the infinite is recollecting itself, but with the infinite addition of infinite experience that gradually colors and fills in the spaces of infinity with lushness and incomprehensible complexity that seems to be unfolding before us, through us, and as us.
Wow. That's something that I'll bet everybody walking around in the streets right now are thinking about.
Yeah, that's why I picked it up. I just thought I would pick it up, but you know,
I think most people get into more as having more.
Oh, having more. Right.
You know, even more so than being more is having more. You know, there's that. You know, remember when our kids would play with our kids? You know, pick them up and throw them in the air and catch them, and it was always more, more. The sensation was wonderful. They wanted more of it. And so that's why I said that more is very human. It's a very part of our humanness, especially as children. We definitely want more. If it tastes good, we want more of it. And then when we get older, and if we're, let's see, we've been taught that the only thing that there is pain, you know, even though
We've been taught the only thing there is pain.
If some children who are wounded, yeah, that's it, that their life is pain, it's painful.
Oh, I see.
And to justify their very existence, they want more of that because that's how they know themselves. So you want more of how you know yourself so that you don't disappear, that you don't become invisible, which is really kind of a scary thing, you know, if you're brought up in a world of lack and a world of
abuse, neglect.
Right. You want more of that only because you have to take it away, you become less defined. You don't know who you are anymore. So that's another way of looking at more. And definitely more things. You know, people are more things. Well, definitely people want more things. And after selling most of our things and getting rid of them, I don't know about more things.
I'm happy to be without the things. It's funny, you know, we live in a very modest little cabin in the woods. And I drive around and I look at larger houses. I look at houses, period. And I think what it comes up for me is, I'd have to clean that. I'd have to take care of all that space. And I'm going, you know, at this point, keep it simple. We have one little 5x7 rug, and I sweep it every night. It's not a lot, but it's we always go to bed with the clean rug.
So the thing is that more of anything requires more maintenance.
That's right.
You know, even if we have more, the longer you live, you have to have more maintenance.
It seems that way.
So that's another more maintenance. You know, the bigger it is, the more you have to maintain it, the more you have, the more you have to take care of it. So it's more is loaded. It's a loaded word.
But there's a critical breakthrough that I believe happens to all of us. And I think most all being are destined to have this breakthrough. And that is when you get that there's no more out there, that the more that you have this impulse to experience is what's inside you that wants to come out. And in our immaturity, we feel that impulse. But as you say, we look outside ourselves for it and gather it to ourselves. But once I realize who I am, fundamentally, that I am of the one, I am of the I am God embodied, if you will, certainly love embodied, and that there is no limit to myself, but the only way I can experience that limitless sense of being is as I give it forth. I can't grab it to me from out there because I can never have enough. You can never fill that hole. But I can infinitely expand by doing two things. One is sharing who I am, and equally important, receiving the beings of others, and especially when it's difficult to receive them because they don't act the way I like them to act.
Well, yeah, so you create the only barriers to the moreness. You wrote a line once that something about letting two inside you so that and you're more. I forget the exact way the words were, but can you say them?
The
love poem, I think it's
the love poem. Yeah. Yeah, it goes, I cannot live out of love, for only in love do I know myself. When I join with another, my soul drives forward like the hard, earnest thrust of love's embrace. When I enter love, I come to know myself, for in the eyes of my beloved, whether man, woman, child, or God, I see my soul enhanced, and when my soul beams back to me, it brings with it another, and myself is that much bigger for allowing two inside it.
Now that's a more poem.
We have to have beginnings and ends. That seems the way we're made. The finite mind of mortal man is really very staid. It's hard for us to see beyond the space we occupy. We're locked up in a visual box by the range of mortal eyes. We haven't dared to go beyond the space that we can touch. All suggestions that there's more cause our minds to clutch. We look upon reality as something that starts and stops.
Have you ever really considered
eternity has no top? We're limited in our earth time frames by facts of death and birth. If life comes to a bitter end, then it can't have any worth.
Unendingness is waiting out there like a friend beyond the gate, hoping to catch our inmost self and take it for its mate. It seems we cannot tolerate that which is unknown. When someone says there's something more, we answer with a groan.
All we really need to do,
all we really need to do, is stop looking for an
end. All we really need to do, the universe goes on and on. Eternal and infinite friend.
All we really need to do is stop looking for an end. All we really need to do is stop looking for.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Now, that was from a show that I wrote called How Free is Free, and the composer was Omaran. And he wrote the music, and I wrote the lyrics, and it was a musical, actually a youth musical, that was performed by many churches, church youth programs.
What was that particular song called?
Called Limits. And it's great to hear Omaran singing. It just brings back a lot of wonderful memories of the times we spent together writing that show. And for me, I don't know how you felt about it, but it still works for me. I love hearing
it. It's a fun piece.
And I think it just highlights something that's so transformative to experience, that we really do go on and on. When I drop into that space, that my being really has no limits. There's a funny line in the Urantia book, U-R-A-N-T-I-A book, that says, in the Urantia book, let me back up, is this huge cosmology of existence and all its possible ways that the human mind can attempt to understand. And it says, the universe philosophers have pretty much determined there is no such thing as an end. And how might it affect your life, listener? And I'm looking in my own mirror. How does it affect my life when I recognize there is no end to me? There is no end to my existence, to existence itself. And so it's an infinite sea that I swim in, and it's just a matter of learning.
I think it can be terrifying if you are not in that place of your own existence where we're constantly exploring what seemed like an adventure. Because if you were in a place of your own existence where it was simply survival, that you were here solely to survive or kill or be killed or eat or be eaten mentality, the fact that there's an infinity to that existence would seem horrible.
if you depend upon boundaries, and that's the big struggle into breaking through in consciousness, where we start off as such an unbelievably delimited person thing, and our entire definition of our experience of ourself in relationship to reality is essentially defined, as you pointed out earlier, by the limits. And that's what that song is about. It's saying, release the limits, and lo and behold, you'll discover yourself that you still exist in much greater and expanded space. But it's scary, because from this side, it really looks like death.
Not only that, but when you take away the limits, what you're taking away is your definition, because that's what definition is. It has limits. It has borders. It has, it has lines that say this is your face and this is your body, which is definition. It's something that's definable. But what we're talking about is indefinable. And therefore, who are you in an indefinable context? Who are you in an indefinable context? That is like really not comfortable for most people. I mean, how can you even, what can you talk about?
Well, that's why. So we'll be silent and be doing some radio mime. But it does remind me of this poem called Ground Crews for Essence, and see how this relates.
Oh my gosh. Already it sounds very abstract.
Ground cruise for essence. Okay. Embarking on a ground cruise for essence, I am unwilling to leave behind the familiar caricatures of myself, of others, and of God, and proceed by indirect means into the perennial quandary. But having tasted the innocuousness of life as it masquerades before me, I'm slowly becoming convinced that what I see and what I have known are demented shadows of what is. Not even true shadows, more like gusts of darkness disguised as shadows. I am grateful that there is so little physical landscape to be discovered at this time in history, as God has seen fit to give me the great blessing of time, which I've been able to explore the domain of the timelessness of myself and existence. The task is still so incredibly difficult for me because I am inundated by that which affirms my slavery to perception. Every face, hand, leg, or torso that confronts me is like a bar in my cell, precluding vision and locking me outside of myself, outside of rapture. And yet, I feel willing to disengage myself from make-believe surmises about the nature of reality, and proceed into the choppy, unsafe waters of the deep unknown. Although not uncharted, for I have a sure pilot guiding me on my ground cruise to essence.
Well, a quark never exists by itself in isolation. Something very odd happens when you try to separate them. The energy it takes to break up those two best friends is just enough to create two more to join back up with them. And a photon has no mass, and thus it travels at light speed. If you could imagine going that fast, and if you try, I think you might be. You'd be emitted and absorbed both in the exact same instant, even if you traveled from a place 13 billion light years distant.
Cause the universe is weird. I'm kind of freaking out. What the heck is this all about? Bounded sets and hadronizing gluon jets, and we'll never understand half of what we have at hand. At least that's what I fear. Cause the universe is weird.
An electron has a strong charge as strong as a proton and a tiny mass but not non-existent like the photon. And you might want to take a seat now because this might blow your mind. It has a mass and charge but not apparently a size. And there's a lot of stuff all around you right now. Your chair, your friend, your planet, and your sister's neighbor's cow. And all that mundane mass and energy is all we know and understand, but it's only 4% of what the universe has at hand.
Because the universe is weird, I'm kind of freaking out. What the heck is this all about? Infinite, unbounded sets and hadronizing gluon jets, and we'll never understand half of what we have at hand. At least that's what I fear. Because the universe is weird.
Well, I was driving in a van with my brother, and I said, hey, John, guess what? Like, dude, no edge, because the universe doesn't exist in any way we can conceive it. No center, no edge, no none of that, whether or not you can believe it. And once upon a time, in a gassy liquid stew, a molecule was like, hey, I turned me into you. This may be the biggest mystery of all the ones in which we dwell, how the universe created a tool with which to know itself.
Yeah, the universe is weird. I'm kind of freaking out. What the heck is this all about? Unbounded sets and hadronizing gluon jets, and we'll never understand half of what we have at hand. At least that's what I fear. Cause the universe is weird. Oh yeah, ooh, it's so weird. It's so freaking weird. Oh yeah, the universe is weird. The universe is weird. Oh, why on earth is the earth so weird? And the universe, oh, why in the universe is the universe so weird? Oh, it's kind of freaking me out. I don't know if you noticed, but it's freaking me out. It's so weird. Ew, it's so weird.
Thank you, Hank Green.
Oh my gosh, that was really funny. That was fun.
You want to hear something really funny? I'm not going to play all this song, but you gotta listen to this, and then we have to wrap it up because I find this very interesting, and also I think it's important to look at both sides of the equation.
I don't believe in evolution. I know creation's true. I believe that God above created me and you. So praise his name for what he made. Give credit where it's due. I don't believe in evolution. I know creation's true. I didn't crawl out of a pond or swing down from a tree. Adam is my ancestor and not a chimpanzee. God created everything. In 6 days he was through. So the Big Bang Theory's just a dud and the million years are too. I don't believe in evolution. I know creation's true. I believe that God above created me and you. So praise his name for what he made. Give credit where it's due. I don't believe in evolution. I know creation's true.
That's a whole other show, because I find it so amazing that you think that is not, that God wouldn't create evolution.
Right.
Like, hello? Why not that instead of that?
Right.
You know, like, it seems to me a much more interesting way to create a species is to have them evolve. And if I were going to hire a god to do all this work, I think I'd want him to do the evolution thing than just do 6 days and it's over. I mean, he wouldn't get much money for it.
Well, you know, I think it has to do with... No, it's kind of a ripoff, really.
It's a ripoff. Six days and it's over.
Plus, guys go, you know, I can do more than 6 days. Come on.
And look how much fun we're going to have watching these species evolve.
Yeah, just wait.
And turn into intelligent beings. And maybe even one day get along in such a way that they will create Eden once more on Earth.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because I have the sense that Eden kind of symbolizes the unconscious state. We can't really appreciate what we have. We're in this garden, but we have no reference point. So then we're thrust out into duality, or at least the illusion of duality, or boundaries, or walls, and this and that, up and down, and all of that, so that we can have a greater appreciation when we realize that we had all that, but it was an infinite plane of which we could then experience all of it on this continuum, and rather than encounter these limits. And then, as I say in the song, realize that eternity has no top.
The interesting thing also for me about evolution is that anybody who says they don't believe in it obviously thinks we were thrust onto this planet as grown-ups. That we
weren't.
That we didn't start out as fetuses.
Well, maybe.
And evolve into grown-ups or humans or with children. That is evolution right there, right there. So, but I find it fascinating that we evolve. I find it fascinating.
Grow. I wrote this poem, it's called Growth. Let us examine the nature of growth. Does it exist or is it really a myth? If growth is bigger, then what shall I become? Beginning with a simple organism, moving on to a complex self, is this the end of growth for me, or is there something else I shall become? It seems I cannot watch my own growth take place or trace it on a chart. I must wait for it to collect itself, to become revealed in a quantum jump. So growth seems to be a process of discovering what I am as I become.
I would say that that's a great period or exclamation point to tonight's program, Mr. Strider.
Well, good. I'm glad it's a good exclamation point, because we are inside out, the naked truth, and we're very excited that we're on this infinite journey and that we get to be on it with you. But we'd love to hear your point of view and how you're doing on your journey. We're with you every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. We are so grateful that Go Raw, real live food products, is sponsoring our show, which allows us to be able to share with you weekly. And for those of you who are listening tonight, you might mention to those who couldn't listen that they can go to the archives right here at the BBS radio station and listen to any of the shows that we've done in the past. We've got some whopper subjects coming up here in the next few weeks. One of them is, I was thinking about grace. Grace is an unbelievable phenomenon. So that's something we're going to deal with one of these weeks. I was also thinking of a phrase that's kind of from the sort of associated with the Bible, which says, be of good cheer. And I just like the turn of those words, be of good cheer. And we hope that you are being of good cheer in your own process of unfolding, evolving, etc.
And remember.
Oh, and remember. Yeah, let's get this one all set up. Remember, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.